Forward to section 52. So, here at the end, how does the poet extract himself from this poem that we've been immersed in for hours, days, months, years? How does Whitman say goodbye? As we might expect, he pulls off one of the great disappearing acts in all of literature. He begins before our eyes to depart as air, to be coaxed to the vapor and the dusk, to effuse his flesh in eddies, and generally to dissipate into the landscape, where we will find him nowhere and everywhere, growing from the grass he loves, composted into the dirt beneath our boot soles. Every atom belonging to him now as well does belong to us and to the living world around us. He is part hawk, yapping his untranslatable yap over the roofs of the world. He is part of the quickly passing clouds, the scud, part of the shadows, part of our very bodies, filtering and giving fiber to our blood. Where, after all, does our body come from? It is, the poet reminds us here once again, a continually changing organization of materials from the far reaches of the earth, from the far reaches of the cosmos. So we experience one final Whitmanian catalog. As eye cascades down the left margin of the page, each time dissolving into the untranslatable materials of the world, the air, the sun, the eddies, the jags, the dirt, the grass, and finally, the you that the poem leaves us with. As untranslatable as the hawk's cry, Whitman's barbaric yap leaves us with an echo in the air, with a fading twilight, and with grass under our feet. The poet seems to be taunting future translators, like all of those represented here on the Whitman web, who quickly discover the impossibility of moving into another language, the vast and intricate web of images and words that is Song of Myself. But when Whitman says, "I too am untranslatable," he's also thinking about how the I, the self, is finally not translatable from one set of materials to another. Translate in its roots means to carry over from one state to another. As the body decomposes, the self dissipates along with it, all its memories and ideas and thoughts effusing and departing like the materials of the body that gave the self identity. Our sights and hearings and touches all vaporize back into the things that generated those sights and sounds and touch, effusing, pouring out into the world from which they derived, released from the eyes and ears and brain and fingertips, from the bodily network of nerves, what Whitman elsewhere calls the body electric, that gives us what we experience as identity. Meanwhile, Whitman, while he was alive and embodied, discovered he could drift himself into the lacy jags of print. In another poem, Whitman called printed words those upright lines, those curves, angles, dots. Leaving behind this poem, with its curled and jagged letters, forming words, forming ideas, forming images, his poem then has become another kind of embodiment, the body of work that Whitman has left us, has poured himself into, and that now always stops waiting for us. Without us, it's just a mass of silent, lacy jags and dots and curves. But with us, presently embodied humans, those jots and inked letters become voiced, alive again. Just as Whitman's body is now recycled into endless other bodies of plants, of people, of animals, of air and soil, so his words are recycled by an endless stream readers into continually fresh illumination. The poet's decayed body grew into leaves of grass, and his left-behind words grew into leaves of grass. His eye, at the very end, is given over entirely to you, to make of it what you will.